Welcome to another podcast of BPMO, talking about leadership and as it relates to projects and all the stories. We have, again, David Helps. Thank you so much for joining us. And here comes the mouthful, the Chief of Staff for the South Carolina Department of Health and Human Services Project Management Office.
Yes.
But in all seriousness, thank you for joining. It is good to have an expert with us.
So it's been fun.
Always love it. So, all right. So this podcast is focusing on solutions for priorities or priority solutions. How do you set priorities? Especially in project management, priorities are so important. We just, I think we ran long on the last session. So we're
what was the big topic?
I mean, covered this so fast. I didn't have a whole training segment.
I was about to say, we could do a whole training.
It just so happens we trained. So one of the solutions that kind of we can just jump right in and hit on is called the Pareto Principle. And this is also known as the 80-20 rule, where, 20% of my effort goes into 80% of my priorities and different things. And so the summary that we're provided in this book is 20% of your priorities will give you 80% of your production if, and there's the biggest word in the English language, if you spend your time, energy, money, and personnel on the top 20% of your priorities. So just, if we think about it just for a moment, this could be applied to very wide variety of things. But if we think about everything that we do, are we really putting in our effort on the top 20% of our priorities? Have we made a list of 10 and said, these are the two?
Yeah.
This is where I'm going to put in my effort.
Exactly.
So how do you identify this and balance that with work and life and how that?
Yeah, so what you have to do, and before we started the session, you and I were talking about this specifically, is you've got to, there's really two sets of priorities for a person, right? There's your priorities, your personal priorities as a person, and then there's the company that you work for, there's their priorities, right? So one of the biggest things that you have to do or that you really need to do is sit down with yourself and find out what are your priorities. Good friend of mine, he and I went and had coffee the other day, and we were talking about just work in general and talking about the next phase of my career and my life. And one of the things that he really hit me with, and I had not thought about this before, but he said, when we come back and we do this again, I want you to be able to describe to me what you want your day to look like every day.
And I assume it has to be more than margaritas.
Exactly. Because we were talking about next moves. We were talking about next moves for my career and stuff. And he was like, really, you got to ask you've got to sit down with yourself and what are your priorities? Mm-hmm. And we have to do that individually, but then we also have to do that with our companies that we work for, right? We have to, what really are the major priorities? And business leaders need to sit down and really think about this from that C-suite level. Like we talked about in the previous session, everything cannot be number one.
Right.
It can't be. So business leaders need to get out there and they really need to sit down and think about what are the top priorities? What is the top 20% of priorities that we need? Mm-hmm. Going back to made the comment about this in the other session, Agile. The big thing with Agile was simplicity. What are the top things that we need to do? The highest risk, the highest importance, the highest bang for our buck, right? Mm-hmm. Those need to be at the top, because if we get those done and it does end up being 80% of our production, then guess what? There's a whole bunch of stuff, 80% of the other priorities that you can trim down.
Yep.
Because you don't need them.
this reminds me of, almost every organization I've seen that has tried to go from a traditional framework to an agile framework has failed.
Yes.
And the key to that failure could be summarized up here.
Yes.
They're still trying to run 100 projects at the same time.
Yes.
Instead of doing what Agile says, which is run one.
Yes.
See what you can do.
Yes.
You don't create more teams, you have more projects
more
you can run.
Yeah.
But the team has to be dedicated to that project.
Exactly.
It can't be split across 20 or 30 projects.
Correct. It can't.
So
it won't be successful.
That's right. All right. So then it comes down to what John Maxwell calls the three R's.
Yes.
All right, so his three R's are requirement, return, and reward.
Yes.
This first question, if we're walking people who are listening to this, we're walking them through it. What is required of me?
Yes.
What is required of me? Now, a lot of people will say things are required of you, but what's really required?
Or they'll pull out their PD.
Yes.
Their position description and say, well, 80% of my time needs to go here. 10% of my time.
That's right. Oh, and that's a good one. And PD, for those who don't know, means
position description.
Position that's the whole, that's not my job.
Yeah, right? It's got all your job duties assigned, but with percentages, which a lot of times aren't really, some of those were made a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. we have a story I'll share with you from an insurance company that I used to work for.
Yeah.
There was a very high powered, very direct, shall we say, dominant personality who was the CIO.
Yeah.
And the CIO would always tell people, I said get this done and I meant now.
Yes.
And people would go out and they start cutting corners and skipping probably, and then inevitably a mistake would be made and they said, well, you said to get it done now. I didn't say skip the process. I said, get it done now.
Yes.
Do it faster.
Yes.
And so they're still, they forgot what's required of them. Now they have rework.
Yes.
You know, and so you have that. All right, so next one then, and this is my personal favorite.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What gives me the greatest return?
Yes.
Now, for me, and I'd love to hear your side, for me, I don't care who asks what, right?
Yeah.
The best way to find out if it's really required, if I'm really going to get something from it, is don't do it.
Yes.
Don't do it. What is my greatest return? I'm going to put my effort on those things that people recognize. If I'm doing status reports that nobody reads, and a project schedule that nobody reads, and a website that nobody reads, guess what? I'm going to stop it, and I'll test it sometimes.
Yes.
I'll just not do a status report.
Exactly.
See what shakes out.
Yeah.
If 2 months go by and nobody pays any attention to it, it falls off my list of things.
Exactly.
And what are some of the things?
What, case in point, at a couple of other agencies that I've worked at, we literally, as we talk through modernizing the agencies and stuff, we started getting into, well, who really uses this?
Yeah. Nobody. Exactly. Why are we paying for these servers?
Who really uses this? And how frequently and what value is it really giving to them? And sometimes the solution that we came up with was, would turn it off.
Yep.
Go ahead and turn off that mechanism and let's see what happens. Let's see who calls us and says, why can't I get to that report anymore? Where did you move this? What did you do? And then we're like, oh, okay, so what was your purpose and stuff? And then based on their purpose, how does that refit into our priorities?
Mm-hmm.
So if they are using it, what type of value are they getting out of it? And if it is a major value from their explanation, then should that really become a priority? And if so, how can we work that into the priorities we already have set? Mm-hmm. And should more people be using this? Because you got to think, I mean, you know firsthand, just like I do, the ins and outs, people coming and going, leading leadership roles, going to other places, other businesses, other agencies, and then new people coming in and not knowing about the stuff that the other person was using. And then so there's a lot of, you lose things, and then the things that people think were priorities aren't really a priority anymore.
That's right. And I like what he says in here, activity, and this is kind of similar to what we talked about last time. Activity, you know, by itself is not an accomplishment.
Yes.
Productivity is the accomplishment. And so really, when you're talking about what is my greatest return, just because you did something doesn't mean anybody cares.
Exactly.
So, and so then this one is, the third R is what is rewarding.
Yes.
And this is not just career-wise, this is personally.
Yeah.
Is this rewarding?
Correct.
Am I getting something from them? Am I growing in my career? Am I growing spiritually? Am I growing,
yes,
you know, with my relationships?
Yes.
What do you do to stop and pause and measure whether or not something is rewarding or not rewarding? What are some of the things you do?
So some of the things I do is I sit down and I look at it and I ask myself, is this moving my, as you just said, my relationships forward? How is this impacting my family? How is this impacting my work? I mean, we've all gotten in the situations where, you know, we're working too hard and then the family suffers. And
yes,
then we all get in the situation of we focus, and now we're spending more time doing family stuff, and then our work starts to struggle a little bit.
Yep.
And then they get frustrated. And so I sit down and I usually look at it from the different perspective of, is this going to have an adverse impact in either of those relationships? And if it's going to actually enhance those relationships, then I'm gonna put more effort into it and look at it different, you know, as a good thing. If it's going to detriment those relationships, then I'm going to re-look at that and decide if that really is a priority or if that needs to be shifted over.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah,
and this is, it's hard to do, but sometimes you just have to say no.
Yes.
I really, you got to say,
yes,
no to people. You got to say no to things. You know, what am I? And I've had this argument with lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
Is you need downtime. You need,
yes,
some kind of space. And what John Maxwell calls it is, he calls it making room for margin.
Yes.
And so his recommendation is that we take 20% of our day,
yes,
20% of our week, whatever,
yeah,
it is,
yeah,
and that this is intentional downtime. You can't wait for downtime to happen.
Yep.
Because even if your job is to dig ditches, somebody is going to be marketing to you, telling you the end of the world is,
yes,
coming. Somebody's going to be telling you, you know, you need to do this,
yeah,
you need to do that. I need new shoes. I need this. And it's going to fill your day. Eventually, you have to have a moment of downtime.
Waited for downtime to happen, it'd never happen.
It would never happen. So
it would never
happen. Intentional. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
There's no way downtime would have ever happen. I know one of the things, and this is just a personal story, one of the,
yeah,
things that I really love is,
yeah,
that on Saturday nights,
yes,
this is just for me. I'm not saying anybody. It's,
yes,
just for me.
Yes.
On Saturday nights, I like movies.
Yes.
And so I will go into the family room, and amazingly, my family doesn't join me. One, they don't like the movies I like. But two,
yes,
is they're like, this is his time to just have his time. And,
uh-huh,
I get in there with a big bowl of popcorn that's,
uh-huh,
way too much for me.
Yes.
I drink three sodas that I shouldn't be drinking.
Yes.
You know, but I don't care. It's like an,
yes,
intentional time that I've set aside. And then on the career side of it,
uh-huh,
is what he's suggesting in here is you take 20%. Now let's do some math.
Yeah.
I have a 1 hour meeting.
Yes.
I'm a project manager.
Yeah.
How many of your 1 hour meetings really needed to go 1 hour?
Oh, none.
Like,
yeah,
none, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How many times? So,
yeah,
so a lot of times, you know, it's there's some lost time in there. And so the quote that they have in here is margin, and this can be fun. Margin is the space that exists between our load and our limits.
Yes.
So if you have a 1 hour meeting, and try it if you're a project manager.
Yeah.
Try to end one meeting 10 minutes early and start the next one 10 minutes late.
Yes.
So when you have a back-to-back meeting, you literally have 20 minutes of prep time, think time.
Yes.
Whatever it is. You know, time, and block it on your calendar, or else somebody's going to book over it.
So,
you know, what
so,
do you think?
So, my current agency that I'm at asked me to do a time management training for one whole division, like everybody under the agency's chief of staff.
everybody under her area. So it was a couple hundred people. So I did four sessions. And one of the things that we talked about in there was time boxing.
Mm-hmm. I love time boxing.
And I live by time boxing. I literally, my every day of my week is time boxed. And I specifically have downtime, personal time, margin time for myself. And one of the things that I told everybody was, hey, I've noticed that all of y'all never use the bathroom. None of y'all ever eat lunch. None of y'all ever are able to go and do the action items that are you identified in the meeting. And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, look at your calendar. You are back to back to back to back to back to back to back meetings all day. When do you work? When do you get things done? Yep. And I told
them,
exactly.
At night.
And they're like, well, people just keep booking them. They just keep, I said, here's what you do. You go in, and when somebody books you for a meeting, book 10 minutes before and 10 minutes after that meeting. Call it action item buffers. Mm-hmm. And that'll give you some time to either get a couple of action items done, prep for the next meeting if you don't have any action items, or maybe just make a bio break before your next meeting. So
wouldn't that be great?
Give yourself some time, give yourself some margin to do you.
Exactly. Exactly. And the recommendation that's in this book is also continuously evaluate everything on your calendar and this is the key word, and eliminate. Evaluate and eliminate. Constantly be in this mode of,
yes,
if you see a meeting where all you're going to do is listen,
yes,
do you really need to be in that meeting?
Correct.
Maybe the answer is yes.
Maybe.
But for me, good 80 to 90% of the time, not really.
Yeah.
And if you got a meeting with 200 people in it, unless it's a big agency announcement, there's no way in 1 hour.
Because guess what?
You're going to get 200 people to.
Guess what? The people who are having the meeting and talking to you are going to talk to you outside that meeting about the same thing anyway.
That's right. Yep. I run into that a lot.
In your office or their office?
Yes.
That conversation's going to be had at some point, but free up an hour.
So here's questions that we want to get people to ask themselves. First question. And we'll try to go through these as quick as we can, because I know there's a podcast. We've got to keep it down. So questions to ask you. First is the question, where do I need to work smarter instead of harder?
Yes.
That's the first question. So ask yourself that.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of times, if you think about the things that bog you down, this is my experience. You tell me yours.
Yes.
If you think about the things that bog you down that you just hate doing because you feel like you're doing it and nobody else cares about it.
Yes.
Is that really working smarter, or are you working harder?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, so this one's on you. What must I change to stop trying to have it all? I gave myself the easy one.
What must I change in order to have it all?
To stop. Stop trying to have it all.
What must I change to stop trying to have it all?
That's a
tough question.
Yeah, it is.
Because when you think about most people, they're in their jobs to have it all.
Yes.
They want to work their way to the top and stuff. But that goes back to also what we talked about, personal priorities and work priorities. And a lot of times those things they can't be the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I was trying to think of what would I need to change in order to stop trying to have it all. And I think for me, it would be to stop saying yes.
Yes.
I tend to say yes to whatever it is that somebody asked me to do. And I gotta stop that. I gotta put that buffer there to go, I'm gonna go back and try if I can, but I don't know if I'll be able to.
I got one for you.
All right.
Sit down and really think about the definition to the ending of that question. What does it mean? You really need to sit down and think about, what does it mean when I say I want it all? Because for a lot of people, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you.
Yep.
And guess what? Having a lot of stuff, usually most people that I know who have everything, they're not really all necessarily that happy.
Yeah.
In life.
Yeah.
So you really need to sit down and first define what all means.
Yeah.
And be realistic about what your all really should be.
Yeah.
And then when you define that better, that's going to answer the question of what should you stop.
All right. The next one then, and this is I think would be a tough one for anyone, is what good things can I stop doing in order to do the best?
Ooh.
What good things are you doing? Things that there's not a thing in the world wrong with what you do, but you need to stop doing that so that you can be focused on the best, which is usually the
bigger priority. So my answer to that would have been your answer, stop saying yes. Stop saying yes to everything. Because a lot of the things that I say yes to are things that I think are going to be good for other people. And my wife gets on me all the time about this. She's like, you got to stop saying yes to everything when someone asks you for help all the time. You've got to learn to take a break. She's like, you're doing way too much.
And this will be our last question of the podcast, because I think we end up going long here too. Yeah. But hey, why not, you know?
Let's just expand.
It's all time anyway. Yeah. So, I don't know why we try to keep it to 15, 20 minutes. Never works. And I'm going to combine the two questions because it's kind of the same thing. It's what must I do to become more proactive instead of reactive? But really, digging in, what can I do to stop doing urgent but unimportant things? And it's where you got to identify that.
Ooh.
And you know,
and now you're getting into the chart. Who the president that made it famous? Is it Roosevelt? Made urgent and the chart famous.
Urgent and important.
And important, famous.
Yeah, this is urgent, Roosevelt, but it's not important.
During the war, he really leaned into that.
It goes into setting priorities.
Yes.
You know, this is urgent, but it's not important.
Correct.
This is important, but it's not urgent. This is important and urgent.
Yeah.
It's just like that probability and impact chart.
It's one of the things I talked about in the time management class that I did. I was like, use this. If it's not important, it's not urgent. Guess what he did? He tossed it. He said, don't talk to me about it again.
It's good to be president sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, so we've hit on influence, we've hit on levels of leadership, 5 levels of leadership, we've hit on priorities, and really a lot about priorities. So I'm going to give you the last word, and we'll go. If you have one tip, one piece of advice that you could give people to move up another leadership level, set better priorities, whatever it is, what do you think is most important? And last word is yours.
Be honest with yourself about your capabilities.
Be honest with yourself about your capabilities.
And then set yourself up to be better.
All right. Well, let's leave it there. Well, thank you very much again, David. As always, appreciate your time. And look forward to having you come back again and again.
Yes, this was fun.
You know, picking your brain really is an awesome thing. So thank you again. And we'll see you next session.
All right.
Have a good day.
Excellent. We'll be right back.